Begin the Quran Daven Seftes Menachas Da Pei Gimel. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Yomit, but the Gemara continues the Braisa from the previous stuff, which was clarifying the opinion of Rabbi Kiva in regards to the opinion of our previous Mishnah. That is, our last Mishnah was explained the source of the Mishnah before that. The Mishnah had said regarding Karban Toida and all obligatory Karban is like when someone says Hari Alai, that's Enaba Eleban Achol and has to come from unconsecrated proceeds. Said our Mishnah, where do we know that from? We learned it out from a Karban Pesach. Because the Pasuk says Tzainu Vakar by the Karban Pesach, which Pesach is not from Bakar, it's only from Tzain. Says the Mishnah is coming to compare those which come from Tzain to Bakar, which are Shlamim and Taida, that are obligatory, like the Karban Pesach, just like Pesach is only from the Chulin, so too all obligatory Karbanas are only brought from the Chulin. Said the Gemara, where do we know Pesach is brought from the Chulin? So Rabbi Eliezer taught in the Braisa that you know Pesach Darius from Pesach Mitzrayim, which in Mitzrayim they didn't have Maestri yet, had to be from Chulin, so to Pesach Darius. Now the thing is, but Rabbi Kiva disputed Rabbi Eliezer's source, learning out from Pesach Mitzrayim. He held, ain't done in Efshe Mishay Efshe, you cannot learn on Pesach Darius from Pesach Mitzrayim. So the Gemara had asked, so okay, we know a source according to Rabbi Eliezer for the Halacha of our Mishnah, but according to Rabbi Kiva, what would the source be to know that all Karbans, including even Pesach itself, that's Enaba Elam HaChulin? So that Agamar had started by saying that there's a Braisa, that of Rabbi Eliezer, which expounds this pasuk in Vayikra that says, Zaysa Tayra La'ila Mincha L'chatas La'ashim Luma L'zevach Ashlam, that are all superfluous, because all in their own individual context it says, Zays Tayra La'ila, Zays Tayra L'chatas. So what's this pasuk coming to say? It's coming to equate all the other karbanas to each one individually. There's something unique that each one is teaching regarding all the karbanas together. On that, we're in the middle of explaining the Braisa of Rabbi Eliezer's version, which then will explain Rabbi Kiva's version, which is different, and from that you'll see Rabbi Kiva's source, how we know that all obligatory karbanas, including Pesach Dairis, and all other karbanas like Toid and Shlam, that it has to be Menachulin, which is a different source than that of the Tanna of our Mishnah, which ultimately the Gemara is going to ask, so what does he do with that Pasuk of our Mishnah, if it's not being used to learn out other karbanas from Pesach, from Tzayin the Bakr to the Pesach Chayva, to say that just like over there it's Menachulin, so to over here it's Menachulin. On that, the Gemara continues, quoting from the Braisa, we had already explained what does the term Oila come to teach, that it needs to be cut with a knife, to be slaughtered. What does the Mincha teach, which according to this source, Rabbi Eliezer comes to teach, that it's only eaten by the male Kahanim, so to with the Zivcha Shal Metzibur. And what does Chatas teach, continues the Braisa. So says the Braisa, says Rabbi Eliezer, well, Ma Chatas Mekacha Bibalua, just the Kabar Chatas sanctifies those other pieces of meat that absorb the taste of the chatas. For example, let's say a piece of meat touched and absorbed, let's say a shlamim from the meat of a karban chatas. The halach is that now that shlamim has the law, the rules of a karban chatas, which has to be eaten only for a day and a night. It could only be eaten by the kahanim. As the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, it says in the pasuk, Kol asher yiga bebsar yikdash. By the karban chatas, it says whatever touches its meat will be sanctified, meaning to be just like it, where if it's pasul, that meat that touched will become pasul. If it's kasher, has to be like the stringencies of a karban chatas. So just like chatas has this halacha that it sanctifies that which absorbs its taste, afkol mekacha bebalua, also all other types of karbanas, that if a lower level carbon absorbs from a more stringent level carbon, it will have the same sanctity as a more stringent one. Or if, let's say, a carbon kosher gets absorptions from a carbon that's pasul, it's going to be invalid like that, that we learn that from the comparison to the carbon chatas. Asham, what do we learn that from the superfluous word asham over there in that pasuk? We learn that Ma Ashram ain't Shvir Bishal Yukadish, but just like by Karban Ashram, the fetus in the Ashram, or the amniotic sac, which is where the fetus is inside, does not become sanctified when it's in the womb of that mother Karban. Now, the reason why you don't have that by Ashram is because you can't have by a Karban Ashram the Shvir and the Shalya, because all Karban Ashrams are male. So by default, by Ashram, you're never going to have that the fetus inside is going to be sanctified, because it doesn't have a fetus, it's a male. So I've called so to all of the karbanas that you find inside of it, a fetus or an amniotic sac, and when it's inside, that in Shvir V'Shalya Kaddish, by that inside, it's not going to be sanctified. As the Gemara explains, Kasabri he holds, Vladis Kodshim, the children of a karban, although they're sanctified, but Behaviyasan, when they're born, that's when Hei Kodeshim, that's when they become sanctified, but not when they're in the fetus, not when they're in their mother's womb, that would end up from Ashim, where there's no sanctity of the animal in the womb, because there is no womb. Now, additionally, Vidan and Esher, this Tana holds that you could learn out something which, by other Karbanas, which are possible, because they are brought from female animals too, where it's possible to be inside of them this fetus and the amniotic sac. Mishiyevsha, you learn that something that's not possible from the Ashram, which is male. Still, we learn out that just like over there, there's no Kedushas of Shri Vishalya, so too over here, even though it's possible there's no kedusha of Shri Vishaya. Now, the reason why I use the terminology Bahaviyas and Him Kedushin, why didn't I just say when it's born and becomes sanctified, is because the halacha that the children of Kadshim, they themselves are holy, the Gemara learns out in the first Pekim Sachs Mishkari, from the words Bahayulacha, Bahaviyasin. Like it says in the Pasuk, Rakadesh Echa means the Timuras, Ashayulach refers to the Vladis, that they also have the sanctity of the carbon itself. So again, that's what we learn out from the Asham, that the Shvir and the Shalya are not Kaddish, only later on when it's born. Milum, what do we learn out from the inauguratory services that were there when they put up the Mishkan, teaches Ma Milum, Yisrael, B'Sreifa, just like by the Milum. That which was left over was burned, as the Pasuk says, V'im Yisim Ibsam Milum, if any of the meat is left over, that you have to burn it. And additionally, V'im Balachayim, Yisrael, B'Sreifa, they didn't have any living animals which were left over that were burnt, because we don't find that to be burned by the Milum, only meat that was left over after it was slaughtered. Sa'af Kol. So to all other Karbanis, both halachas apply. Meisrei, and that which is of the meat which is left over after the time that you're allowed to eat it, is Bisreif, is burnt, which specifically we're coming to include Chatzis Nashim, because by Shlom the Pasuk explicitly says that what's left over is burnt. And second of all, Ve'im Balachai Meisrei Misreif, there is no halacha that if what's left over in its alive state is going to be burnt. So for example, if let's say someone designates two karbanis for insurance, just in case if something happens to one, he'll have the other one. Or let's say a pregnant carbon, the second one that's left over, even though it's left over, there we're not going to say the law of Neisser, and there the animal's not going to be burnt. Now, additionally, what do we learn out from the last element mentioned in the Pasuk of Shlamim? We learn that Ma Shlamim, just like the carbon Shlamim, Mefaglim, it creates pigle on something else that comes with it, which are the Nesachim. As the Gemara says in Perek HaKemetz, that the Zevach is Mefagl, the Nesachim, and Umispaglim. The Shlam itself becomes pigle when there's a machshava, when someone's doing the avodah of having it eaten chutzlas manai, that now it becomes pigle, and if someone eats from it, it's going to be a punishment of karas. Avkom, mafagl, mispagl, and also all other karbanas, it creates pigle on what comes with it, and it itself becomes pigle. Now, the reason why we learn that from Shlam is because the primary halacha of pigle is mentioned in the Torah by the carbon of Shlam. Now, that's the version of Rabbi Eliezer. But the primary what we wanted is b'masnita tana mishmed Rabbi Kiva. But in the Brice it was taught in the name of Rabbi Kiva a different interpretation of those sources there in the Pasuk, at least on some of them. And from one of those we'll see Rabbi Kiva, where he knows that obligatory karbanis have to be brought from the Chulin, which is the source for the Halacha of our Mishnah, according to his opinion, his version. The Pasuk says, like we said, Zayis Tara v'chulu, etc., which is that whole Pasuk we brought in the previous daf, that Brice. Now, Ayla, he agrees. What did we learn out from Mincha? Here's where he disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Mam Mincha miskadeshes babalu. He says, just like the flour offering becomes sanctified from what it absorbs from another one, because the Pasuk says, Kol ha-shayigah b'mikdash, whatever touches the Mincha will be sanctified. Now, in Teres Kehanim, it says, you would think even if it doesn't absorb it, that's what it says, but in it, until it absorbs from it. Now, the truth is, we could have learned it out also like Rabbi Eliezer does from Chatas. It's just that, like we said, that every single one word in that pasuk is superfluous, so we're learning one halacha from each one, so we need to use, as we'll see from Chatas, a different drasha, so halacha of Blias, we learn that from Mincha, but truthfully, Rabbi Akiva agrees, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that you could really learn that from Chatas. So, but just like by Mincha, there's a sanctity of what it gets absorbed from, Avkom Mekadesh Bablu, also all of the karbanas become sanctified from what it absorbs from the other one, takes on the stringencies of that one. Now, says the Gemara, be'itzach l'mechta b'chatas, but it was still required to say it by chatas, to learn out this halacha, like we mentioned before from Releza, from Blias. Be'itzach l'mechta b'mecha, and it had to be said by the flour offering that it becomes sanctified and what it absorbs from. Because the Ikaz, the Rechman of B'mincha, the Torah only said it by a flour offering, b'shem d'r'chi chabala. We would think, okay, because flour is soft, so it absorbs. Aval chatas imaloi, but by a sin offering, maybe it wouldn't have the halacha that what it absorbs from it takes on that status. That's why you have to say it by chatas. Now, in the reverse too, because the Rechman of Chatas had the Torah only said it by chatas, you would think Mishum de Basar, by meat, Agav de Shaman, since it's fatty, Sakadus, so it really gets into the, like, says into the Kishkas, gets into the inside of the thing, and it really gets absorbed. That's why it takes on the halacha of the more severe carbon, of chatas. Av mincha meloi, but by flour offering, which is just flour, so it doesn't have that great depth and intensity of absorption like a fatty piece of meat, you would say there the halacha would not apply. Tzrichelitz, you needed both to say that the halacha applies by all situations regarding the blias taking on the status of the more severe thing. So that was regarding mincha. Ketinja b'kiva, and this is the primary point, chatos, what do we learn from chatos, which the previous Baiser Berleza had taught it regarding blias, he says it teaches the following thought. Ma chatos ein ba ela menachulin, just like the sin offering only comes, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, only from chulin, from unconsecrated proceeds. Uvayim, Additionally, it has to be brought during the daytime, like the Torah says in the parasha of Yom Kippurim, by the Chatas, it says, "Kibiyim hazeh yichap alechem," because on this day is where he atones. You see, kapara, a sin offering, has to be during the daytime. Moreover, uviyadeh hayamana, this has to be with his right hand. Like it says by the Chatas, it says, etzba unkuhuna. It has to be, it says the kohen's finger, and it says that he's a kohen. Which the Gemara later on tells us, wherever it says etzba unkuhuna, it has to be with the right hand. Where we learn that from a different pasuk, as it says in the first parak, from the tavala kohen etzba'i, which we see over there, it has to be with his right hand. So therefore, we know these three halachas apply to chatas from chulin during the daytime with the right hand. Av kol, also all of the karbanos, and this is the source for Rebbe Akiva, and the ba elam in achulin comes only from unconsecrated proceeds. So that's why we know Pesach and all other tayden shlam, all other obligatory karbanos like a chatas, that it has to be from chulin. Uba yemen, that it has to be during the daytime. Uba yodei manz, and with the right hand. Now, but the Gemara asks, okay, fine, we have the source for Rebbe Akiva, where he knows that all karbanos have to be, that are obligatory from chulin, but the chatas gufa minal. How do we know actually that the chatas, which is the source of this, has to be from chulin? So Rebbe Chizdi says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, v'yikra, when the Kohen Gadol brings his carbon for him and the Kehanim, says, v'hikra Aaron is para chatas ha-shaloi, that Aaron brings the bull, that's the sin offering, which is for him. What does it mean that's for him? It means loy, for him, it means mishaloy, from his own, meaning from his own unconsecrated mundane money, veloy mishal maisa, but not from the maisa, and that's how we know the halacha, that chatas has to be from chulin, and therefore all other karbanos from this pasuk, from Zeis Taras, Oila, and Mincha, all those things, says chatas is learning out from chatas this halacha, which is the source according to Rebbe Akiva for the halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, however, he said that, okay, not only is chulin learned out from chatas, but bayayim, that has been during the daytime, and the right hand is also learned out. And that is the Gemara bayayim. Min bayayim tzavoy sinavka. We learn that from a different pasuk. That what it says by chatas and other karbanos says on the day that he commanded. That's where we know it from, not from chatas. So the Gemara, you're right, kedin asva. Just incidentally, it was mentioned, meaning we know chatas has to have during the daytime, so it just mentioned, but you're right, the real source for other karbanos is from the pasuk bayayim tzavoy sin. But the Gemara asks on the third item too. Biyoda hayamanis, the right hand, we know from chatas. But the Rabbi Babachana Nafka, because the Amar Rabbi Babachana Amar Shlakish, he says, Kamakam Shanema Etz Babakahuna, wherever it says that with the finger, that has to be with a kayin, and El Yamin, means with the right hand. And other Krabbanas say that. So we don't have to learn it from Chatas. So I think my Kedin Asma, that was also just mentioned incidentally, just the Chatas needs it, but the primary thing that we're learning from Chatas, according to Rebbe Akiva, was that has to be Minachulin, and that's the source, according to Rebbe Akiva, for all obligatory Krabbanas. Now, the Braisa continues. Asham, what do we learn that from? The guilt offering. Ma'asham atzmoisim mitaren. Just like the carbon asham, the bones are permitted. Meaning the bones that don't have marrow, you're allowed to use for mundane purposes, even to make a handle for a knife. Now, how do we know that the bones of an asham are permitted? Because the meat of an asham is permitted to be eaten. Now, but it actually is even has a greater level of permissibility because there's no problem about being left over at a designated time, like meat, which you're only allowed to have for a day and a night. Here, the handle you could keep forever made out of bone because there's no iser neiser that takes effect on a carbon, only that which is fit for consumption. Like the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Gemara says that the bones and the sinews have to be burnt on the 16th. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If there's no marrow, you should be able to throw it away. Which Rashi proves from there, you see that if it's not fit for eating, then there's no neiser that takes effect. It's only if there's marrow. So therefore, we find that by the ashram, the bones are permitted to be used for mundane purposes. Afkol, so to all karbanos, even the karban oila, even though the oila is totally burned on the mizbeach, the halach is that atzmoisa mutaran, the bones are permitted. Now the reason why we learned this out specifically from ashram more than all the other karbanos is because like we said, first of all karbanos we need to learn that one thing from. So this is what we're going to learn from ashram. But additionally, by ashram, it says the word who after the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts, which sounds like only this, the meat, the imurim, that's considered asham. But what's being excluded? The bones are not considered part of the kedusha of the asham, and therefore it can be used for its own mundane purposes to make even a handle for a knife. Now, additionally, although the Brisa doesn't continue over here, what we're concluding is that we're learning out from the exposition of the word chatas, that's where Rebbe Akiva knows that the adav shebachayva has to be brought from chulin. And additionally, the other terms in the pasuk, which he doesn't mention, oyle miluim, says Rashi, learns out, Rebbe Akiva learns the same thing Rebbe Eliezer, where oyle is that you need to have a knife, and miluim, like we said here previously, has to be mamois or same b'seifa, and is not balechaim, so to all other karbanas. Now, however, the Gemara goes back and asks, so Rebbe Akiva, that, as we said, he knows the halacha, that all davar shebachayva, all obligatory karbanas, that it's only brought from chulin, he knows from chatas. So then, we're back to the question, Haiv is avachta Pesach. That pasuk that we brought in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah had said is the source that we know that all other karbanas chayva, including taida, has to be brought minachulin, because the pasuk is saying tzayin nevakar, and wait a second, Pesach is not brought minabakar, so it's just equating those which come from tzayin nevakar, which like taida and shlam, that it has to be like Pesach, that's from chulin, and we know Pesach from chulin, like Rabbi Eliezer had said, but according to Rabbi Akiva, that pasuk is a continue to medbeis, my avilei, what does he do with that? He's not learning it out from the halacha of chulin, because that he knows some chattis. So then what do you do with the word tzayin nevakar? What's that teaching if Pesach is not brought from bakar? Says the Gemara, my boy likes Reb Nachman. He needs that pasuk to teach a different halacha. The Amr of Nachman, Rabbi Barabui said, "Minayin lemaisra Pesach? Where do we know regarding the leftovers of Pesach? Where, for example, if let's say someone had designated monies to be used for Karban Pesach, but there was leftover money, didn't need all that money for the Karban Pesach. What do you do with that money? Is shekarv shlam that's used to buy and to sacrifice a Karban shlam? How do you know that? Shnem, like it says in the pasuk that our Mishnah had quoted, which is being used according to Bekiva for a different drasha. It says in Devarim, "Bezavachta Pesach l'Hashem lekecha tzayin nevachar." Tzayin nevachar, you'll slaughter for Hashem your God a Karban Pesach from the flock and from the cattle. Now the question is, Karban Pesach is only brought from lambs or from goats, not from buck or from cattle. Ella, rather, it's teaching you Maisra Pesach, the leftovers of the Pesach. Yehela davar habam, and that tzayin and the buck should be brought for something that's brought from the flock and from the cattle, which is referring to the Karban Shlam. Now, although the Karban Oil is also brought from Tzayin HaBakar, still Rashi says it's teaching us that it should be brought as a Karban Shlam because ultimately it was designated for something which is eaten and not for something that's totally burnt on Mizbeach. So therefore it's going to be like a Shlam which is brought from Tzayin HaBakar which is eaten and not like an Oil. Therefore that's what the Pasuk is being used according to Rabbi Akiva. That is the Gemara of Baham HaHacha Nafka. Is this where you learn at the Halacha that Meisra Pesach, the sacrifice, is a Shlam? But Midavu de Shmuel Nafka, we learn that from a different source, that of the father of Shmuel. Because he learned, it says a pasuk in Beyikr, it says, "Im enatzein karbani lezevach hashlam." If it's from the sheep that he's bringing a karban shlamim, then you have to have the following halachas. Now, Vama Avud Shmuel, he had said, "What's this pasuk saying? Davar habam enatzein, something that comes from only the sheep, which is the karban pesach, only comes from sheep. Yehi lezevach shlamim should be brought as a karban shlamim because." The reason why he expounds the pasuk of this is because this word zevach shlam in this pasuk is superfluous. Because the pasukim there are talking about the shlam. It should have just said, v'im enatzayin, yabi karbani. Now, if he's going to bring it from the sheep, then you have the following karbanas. Why does it say, lezevach shlamim? It's coming to make a drasha to say, something that's brought only from the tzayin, which is karban pesach, that leftover should be brought as a karban shlam. So you see, that's the source, not the pasuk that we brought previously from Devar. Now, however, the Gemara doubles down on this and asks another question. What, you think you even learned that from the father Shmuel? Mahasam Navki, we actually learned from a third source. But Tanya, because we learned the Brayis, so the pasuk over there afterwards says, by the Shlam, says that if Keves, if he's going to bring this carbon from the lambs, which that's superfluous. Now, the reason why that wording over there is superfluous too, is because previously the pasuk had said, regarding the shlamim, the imanat saying karban, if he's going to bring it from the sheep. And then later on, so it says what it is. And then the next pasuk says, okay, if it's from the lamb, which we're quoting right now. And then it says later on, and if you're going to bring it from the goats. Now, by default, I obviously know that if it says later on from the goats, that up until now I was talking about the lambs. Because sheep, tzayin, only includes keves and ezim. So if he's saying im keves, that's superfluous. We already said we're talking about tzayin. Later on, we say A's, then we're talking about goats. So what are we talking about now, before, in the middle? Obviously, we're talking about lambs. So what's that coming to teach? L'rabbis esa pesach la'ali. It's coming to include the carbon pesach for the tail that is totally burnt on the mizbeach with the other sacrificial parts, because we're coming to compare it like the lamb of the shlamim. Like the pasuk says elsewhere, behikriv mizevach ha-shlamim chel ba'al yitamim. We know that the carbon shlamim, its tail is totally burnt on the mizbeach. And what are we saying over here? Keves. Obviously, we're talking about keves. We're talking about something else that's brought from keves, specifically the carbon pesach, that it is going to be, its tail is going to have the same halacha like the shlam, which when it's a keves, that's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Now, as Rashi points out, however, but it's only for this halacha that the tail is being burnt on the mizbeach. Because we're not comparing the carbon pesach from the extra word keves to all the halachas of shlamim, for example, like to require smicha, to lean on the animal, and the nasachim, that you can't include it because explicitly the Gemara later on in Perek Shteimidis excludes it. So then what are we comparing the carbon pesach to the shlamim that's brought from keves? It's to tell you that, so to its tail from a lamb is going to be burnt on the mizbeach. That's one drasha, but the brayza continues, which is, we're going to get to the primary thing that the Gemara is asking from. Kishu Emes, that's only from the extra word keves. But when it says in the pasuk im keves, so the word im is also extra. That's lehevi, and this is the main thing that the Gemara is asking from, lehevi pesach sha'avr shnasa. It's coming to include the Karban Pesach that its year already passed. So therefore, the person had to bring a different animal as a Karban Pesach, because halacha is you have to bring an animal in its, within its first year as a Karban Pesach. Now, so this one that's left over is called the Moisra Pesach, which is this halacha that we're discussing, the leftover of the Pesach. When you go ahead and you sacrifice at a later point in time, the halacha that's being taught over here in this brisa is that it's going to be sacrificed as a shlam, totally. You'll have to have smicha and the sachem. That's one thing that you'll learn from the extra word im. And similarly, ushlam haboy machmas pesach, the shlam that come because together with the pesach, which is the chagiga, the karmic chagiga that's brought on the 14th of Nisan, where if let's say there was a large group of people that were signed on to one Karban Pesach, so they have to bring with it a Karban Shlam called the Chagiga on the 14th of Nisan, so that they should be full by the time they eat, and the last thing they eat and it's really filling them up is the Karban Pesach, as the Gemara says in Mesechim Pesachim Perik El Dvarim, that both these categories have L'chol Mitzvah Shlam, that they have all the Halachas of Shlam. Unlike what we're including from Kevis regarding the Karban Pesach itself, they're only including it for the Aliyah that sacrificed the Mizbeach. These two, that are not excluded for all the other Halachas, from Im, they have the halach of all the krab, all the halachas of shlam. She'itinu smicha b'nesachem, like a regular shlam. They require the owner to lean on it, to have libations, which is pouring of the wine, between the chazav shaykh and the elevation of the thigh and the breast. Now, this is going to be the primary thing the Gemara is asking from. This is a different source of Moshe Pesach being brought as a shlam. So it's a third source. We're really difficult to understand. Is it that Pasuk in the Varmi brought, or the Pasuk in the Yikra, or over here that we're learning it out from this extra word im? But the Brisa continues and says, Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says later on, V'im Eiz, now if the Shlam is being brought from a goat, now it doesn't say it earlier together with V'im and Atzayin. It could have just said, and if it's from the sheep, and also from the goats, why say a whole separate parasha that if it's brought from the goats? So that's the Brisa, that it's Hifzik Inyan, because it's interposing, it's stopping, it's telling you that the halacha of the goat is not the same as the halacha that we said before. Limit ala is, because it's coming to teach regarding the goat, she'ena tuna alya, that it does not require its tail that's sacrificed on the mizbeach. Because if someone brings a goat for a shlamim, the tail is not going to be sacrificed with the sacrificial parts as it is if it's a kevis as a lamb. Because to the contrary, there it's going to have the halacha like the cattle, which the tail is not sacrificed on the mizbeach. But one thing is, we have a third pasuk, so what's the source? Why do we need all these psukim to teach this halacha that Moshe Pesach is birthed from the shlam? Says the Gemara, you're right, Tlasa Kroi Ksibi. There are three psukim that are teaching this halacha of the Maisa Pesach, the leftover of either money or a carbon that was designated as a Pesach, that it's going to be brought as a Karban Shlam. Why three? So the Gemara explains why it's necessary. And therefore it doesn't refute the source of Rabbi Kiva for the Pasuk that we use in our Mishnah to tell you that Maisa Pesach is brought as a Shlam. Chad, one of the sources is teaching La'avriz Manai. So let's say the time of bringing it as a Karban Pesach, because Pesach already passed. And additionally, Vavish Nasi, it's also past its first year. So it's not eligible because it's already in its next year. That's one source of teaching. V'chad, the other one is adding on, because we would only know the minimum when you're teaching a source, that it's excluded from being brought as a Pesach, and thus now it could be designated as a Shlam. The second one, V'chad lo'avrish manoi, that already Pesach passed, it's time, but v'lo'avrish nasi, it's not past its first year. And V'chad, the third one, is teaching lo'avrish manoi, v'lo'avrish nasi, that its year didn't pass, and its time of Pesach didn't pass yet. Meaning, it would be Tumah where someone had designated it as a Karban Pesach, and he slaughters it before Pesach, and when it's still in its first year. And that's why we needed all three sources. Diyash, meaning, had we only said the first one, which we would have only known of Abriz Manav Abriz Nasai, that the time of Pesach passed and its first year passed, you know why you would say it becomes a Shlam? Bishum de Itchile, because it's been rejected from being a Karban Pesach Ligarmi in totality, because it's not even in its first year and it's already past Pesach. That's why it could be sacrificed as a Shlam. I will Abriz Manav Abriz Nasai, but if it's, let's say, only past Pesach, but it's still in its first year, it didn't pass its year, the Chazi LePesach Sheni, where it's still fit, it's eligible to be brought as a Karban Pesach household. Pesach Sheni, those who were Tamei, or far away, they bring it on the 14th of Iyar, so it's still eligible for that. Emoloi, I would actually say that you cannot bring it as a Shlam, because since it's still eligible for Pesach, that's where you have to say a second Pesach. V'yashmin, and it had to be said only that one, that Abrizman V'lovish Nasle, that it's Pesach passed, that's already passed the 14th of Nisan, but it didn't pass its first year, we would say De'itchle me Pesach Rishon, because ultimately it was rejected at least from the first primary Pesach. That's why it can be wrote as a Shlam. But if the time of Pesach didn't pass it, it's before the 4th of Nisan, and it didn't pass its first year, it's still in its first year, where it's still eligible to be brought as a Karban Pesach on the first Pesach, a Maloy, I would say that it cannot be a Shlamim, and if someone slaughters it before Pesach, it's actually going to be invalidated. That's what we're learning from the third Pasuk, and this is actually where we know that the Halacha that says many times in Shas, that Pesach, B'shayim HaSashana, Pesach in all other days of the year, even before Pesach, is considered Shlamim. That we learn that from the third source, and therefore Tzrichi need all three Pesukim to teach the same Halacha. And again, therefore we resolve, well, how do we understand according to Bekiba, what does the Pasuk that was quoted in the Mishnah come to teach? That if you bring a Pesach and it says Tzayin the Bakar, which the time of the Mishnah I taught is telling you comparing Shlam, which is brought from Tzayin the Bakar, from the Karban Pesach, which is brought from Chulin. Bekiba doesn't know it from there, he knows from Chattas. According to him, it's coming to teach one of these three Pesukim for the source that Moshe Pesach is brought as a Shlam. We shall return to the 8th parak of Sechtem Nachas parak HaToydah HaSavah, which again was quoting primarily the laws of the Toydah and specifically in context of the laws of this Masechta Menachas, we're going to the Lach MeToydah, the breads of the Toydah. And with that, we continue to the 9th parak, the parak called Karbanas HaTzibur, which continues on this theme regarding the Menachas, the flower offerings that are brought in the base of Mikdash. Says the Mishnah, Kol Karbanas HaTzibur VaYachad, all the sacrifices that are public or of individuals, Bain, they come min the aretz u'mechutz laretz. It has to be from the grain, whether it's from Eretz Yisrael, or it could even be from out of Eretz Yisrael. Min ha'chadash min ha'yashan, it could be from that year's grain or from old grain. And obviously we're talking about the karbanas of menachas, of flour offerings. Chutz, but there are two exceptions. Min ha'omer b'shtei alechem, the first barley offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, and the first grain offering of flour offering brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos, which are the two shtei alechem, that then allows the new grain to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, which the Emor allows the new grain out of the Beis HaMikdash. Where those two karbanas, she'ein ebayin elam min ha'chadash min ha'aretz, they're limited, they have to be from that year's new grain, and additionally, it has to be from the grain grown in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it says, the Mishnah, v'kulan ein ebayin elam min ha'muvchar, and all of these menachas required to be from the most choicest grain that was grown. Now, ve'ezehu muvchar shalema, what's the more choicest grain? Says the Mishnah, Machnes v'zitcha, these are two places in Eretz Yisrael, that they're alpha l'saylus, that their flour is the choicest grade A for all flour. And that's why it's called alpha, which is like this aleph, so too in Greek, which is the alpha, which is the primary, the first, that's the choicest flour. Now, shnilan, the secondary grade flour, is afeirayim bebika, which actually, according to Rashi, the Gemara says koiferayim, which is a plural of kfar, of villages, that there were two. There was a village on the mountain and one in the valley. On that, it's saying that the afaram that's in the valley, that was the one that had the second most choicest flour. Now, but the Mishnah concludes, kol ha'aretzes, all the lands of Eretz Yisrael, hoyu kasheris, were valid for the flour to be brought as the menachas. But they would bring it from here again because this was the choicest flour that would be ideal to bring as a karban tasha. Now, the Gemara tells us, masnim dulei kaitana, our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tana learned the Braisa, this Tana says, Omer, Habamina Yashin, the barley offering that comes from the old grain is kosher. Not like our Mishnah, which said it's pasul, that it has to be from the Chadish and from Eretz Yisrael. Now, Shtei HaLechem, says this Tana, also Habayis Mina Yashin Ksheris, also that the Shtei HaLechem, if it comes from the old grain, it's going to be kosher. Ela Shechisa Mitzvah, just you're missing the Mitzvah. Ideally, this Tana agrees it should be brought from the Chadish, but if not, he holds it's going to be kosher, not like the Tana by Mishnah. Why? The Aymer says in the Yikra, Taker ves minchas bichurecha, that you should sacrifice the flour offering that of your first ones, which sounds like Taker in all situations, even if it's not, like it says, Vafilim and Aliyah, even if it's from the attic where it's being stored, which is the old grain, it's still going to be valid takrav in all situations. Now, Tanav Armish, who holds it's going to be possible from the old grains, because as we'll see later on, as the Gemara asks on this Tana, he learns that from Rishis Ketzirchim. He says, no, you have to be has to be the first grain which is cut, which is used for the Omer, and that means it has to be from the Chadash. Now, what does he do with the word takrav, like Tanav is Braisa? He learns that takrav says, yeah, in all situations, not regarding the quality of the grain, the type of the grain, but rather to tell you that even on Shabbos, or even in the state of Tumah, as the Gemara expounded this way in Perek Rabbi Shmuel. Now, continues the time of the Braisa and Shtei Alechem. So how do I know by the Shtei Alechem, the two first wheat breads that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash and Shavuos, that could also be from the old grain? Because it says in the Pasuk, from your dwelling places you should bring the Shtei Alechem. So that means, first of all, v'loy min chutz laretz, not from out of Eretz Yisrael. It has to be from your moish place, which is in Eretz Yisrael. And additionally, when it says, mimesh v'seichem, from your dwelling places, that's wherever you have grain, v'filim in aliyah, even in your attic, which has the old grain. Now that the Gemara asked, but hafikse, but you already used this word mishavisechem to say the drasha that can't be from out of Eretz, that can't be from out of Eretz Yisrael. How are you using it to teach another drasha that even old grain? So says the Gemara, no, amakra, he's learning it from the pasuk that says taviyu, not from the word mishavisechem, from that you should bring it. Sounds like whatever you're going to bring, bafilim and aliyah, even from what you have stored from last year. Now, however, the Gemara asks on that, but v'hai mibayile, but you need the word taviyu to teach a different drasha. To tell you, shakol sha'ata maybe mimokam acha, that whatever you bring from anywhere else, meaning whenever you're going to bring a mincha from chametz, harehu kazeh, that it should be like this, of the shteh lechem, that you need a nisarin for every challah, a tenth of an eifah for every loaf, which comes to include the lach meitaida, the loaves of the carbon taida, as the Gemara expounded this way in Ayin Zayin and Beis. So that's what it's coming to teach from the word taviyu. How you learn the art to say that you could even bring from the old grain? Says the Gemara, no, because im kain, if that would be the case, lichtav kara tavi, should have just said mimisha sechem tavi, and from tavi we learn out a drasha. My tavi you, what's the extra vav? Shema menotarti is teaching us both halachas. First of all, that it's even min aliyah, even from the old grain, and one, to tell you that whenever you're bringing a chametz type of flour offering, as the Gemara said in Ayin Zayin, that you could go ahead and you should bring, just like it is over here in this context, the shtei halachem, should be a nisarin for every loaf. Now, the reason why we're learning out from this pasuk tavi is because the word taviyu is unnecessary, and it's not necessary to say anything for it itself, and therefore we're learning out, it could have said tavi, which would have been one drasha, and taviyu is telling you both drashas. Now, but the Gemara asks in the Tana of the Braisim, as we said, that's the source for the Tana of our Mishnah, but v'ksiv reishis. But the pasuk says, by both of them, by the Omer it says, it has to be reishis kitzirichim, has to be the first of the new grain that you're reaping. And the Shtei Alechem, it also says, carbon reishis taka b'isim l'ashem, which that's talking about the Shtei Alechem, because it's brought from leavened bread, and it says over there, chametz tfn, you should bake it chametz. So it says it has to be the first ones. How can you say, which means from the new grain, how can you say it's from last year's grain? And that says the Gemara, l'mitzvah, the town that Baisa holds, that it's for a mitzvah that you should have it from the new grain. But if you bring from the old one, it's still going to be valid. But the Gemara says, "B'haksiv chadasha." But it says in the pasuk, "By the shtei alechem, mincha chadash l'Hashem." It should be a new flour offering. Obviously, it's from the new grain. How can you say it's from the old? Says the Gemara, "Haymi boyle lik detanya." The time the brisa holds that's teaching something else, like we learned in the following brisa. Reb Nosson and Rebbe Kiva Amr, they both said that actually shtei alechem abois min ayashin kasheris. Like the time of the brisa, the shtei alechem comes from the old grain. It is valid. Mani mekayim chadasha. How do I understand when it says a new flour offering? Doesn't it sound like it's coming from the new grain? No, it means shetei chadasha l'chol ha-menachas. It means that it should be the new one, which means the first one, for all the flour offerings. Meaning, even if you're bringing the mincha of the shtei alechem from the old grain, that it should be the first for all the menachas that are from the new grain, from this year, that you should not bring any new flour offering for a mincha before the shtei alechem. But not that the shtei alechem has to be from the new one. It's new in regards to being the first one of all the new grain. But it itself could actually be kosher b'di'avid from the old grain, and therefore that's the understanding of the Tana of this Braisa, which is again not like the Tana of our Mishnah, which said that the Yom HaShtei Alechem has to be from the Chadash, it has to be from the new grain, and it cannot be from the old grain.